Welcome to Locked On Warriors, everybody. I'm Wes Goldberg, and in a moment, I will be joined by Dieter Kurtenbach, the columnist over at the Bay Area News Group, for part two of our training camp preview. We're answering the five biggest questions facing the Warriors going into training camp next week. And on today's show, we'll talk about James Wiseman's health and what the Warriors' plan is with the center rotation in general. If you haven't checked out part one, make sure to find that in your podcast feed or here on YouTube, where Dieter and I break down the latest regarding the Warriors' plan for backup point guard and who they're bringing in for workouts. But here we go with part two coming up next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Speaking of health, that goes to our second biggest question on the Warriors, James Wiseman's health. Now, The Warriors have been optimistic all along that Wiseman, from this MCL injury, would be ready for training camp. We have not got any sort of clearance on that. Granted, we are a couple weeks away from that. And so I was able to catch up with him a couple times, once in Sacramento, once in Las Vegas, asked him how he was doing. He wasn't on the walking boot. He was moving fine. He was walking through hallways fine, but that's much different than playing in an NBA game. Yeah. I would imagine. I have never done that.
One would hope that your level of exertion and force is a little bit higher than walking through the hallways at the Thomas and Mack Center.
That's right. And so he said he was doing well, that he expects to play in training camp, but he's not the doctor. And he's going to say it. Right. Tell me that. I'm a reporter. So we'll see. But I did also see him working out in Las Vegas on the court. That was a really good sign. He seemed to be moving well and all those things. So I think if I had to place a bet, and this is with all now, you know, and the listeners know all of the things that I know. I don't know anything more than what I just said. If I had to place a bet on it, I would say he participates in training camp. Maybe it's not the first day, but I think he's going to be on the floor. Maybe he's not doing the full 5-on-5 contact drills, but he will be on the floor in training camp. They will at least get a look at him, and I expect him to at least play something in the preseason.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair expectation. I mean, you have to remember that this kid's a baby. I mean, he's a very large baby, but he's an infant child compared to the rest of us, and they've seemed to bounce back a little bit better. So the hope is that the fear, of course, is that, you know, you have his Greg Oden situation where he's a big man, but Greg Oden's looked like a 50-year-old man his entire life. Like, right. It just looked like he was brittle. And so you're just hoping it's not like a man-child situation where the body was, you know, grew too fast and it was just never going to happen. Like, James Wiseman's such a graceful athlete, he looks so connected and sort of, you know, centered in his body. Like, he looks natural at 7'1", which is wild. It was maybe the biggest takeaway I had from him his rookie year, in the positive, just like, wow, like what a fluid big man. Those are so rare. I mean, even the best of the best lack that level of fluidity, and you can only, you know, allow yourself to extrapolate so much before you kind of get over your skis. But the hope is that he remains that, you know, that fluid, because that's going to be his greatest skill set moving forward, especially in this positionless modern NBA where, you know, you want him inside, outside, everywhere. And just being able to run the floor too is huge. I'm going to bet on it. I'm just going to bet on it. It's not scientific at all, but, you know, if he was that fluid to begin with, I have to imagine that his body's pretty good. Like, yeah, 7'1", man, I've been 6'9" for a long time. Like, some people are built for it, some people aren't. I was luckily built for it, but even I have like little nagging things from football and, you know, basketball in like high school. Like, he seemed to not have any of that kind of stuff coming in. So the joys of only playing 3 games at Memphis, I suppose. But
he doesn't have a lot of miles on those tires either, right? So but to that point, he also, because he has so little experience, even for somebody his age, he has no experience, little experience. He needs more experience. One thing is for sure, he will not be starting on opening night, and I don't really know exactly what his role is going to be. And that kind of gets us into our next question. What does the center rotation look like? Because Kevon Looney will start at center for the Warriors opening night, and I expect him to start for the season as long as he's healthy. Obviously, I think a lot of people would pencil in James Wiseman as the obvious pick for a backup center, but they also signed Nemanja Bjelica in part to be a floor spacing five. I know what Bjelica brings me if he is in condition. I didn't list Bielitz's conditioning on my list of questions, but it is a question I have. What does he look like in training camp? Because he was not in shape in Miami, and he was out of the rotation within a week of them trading for him. But we'll see what that looks like.
By the way, at least he showed up to Miami out of shape. It wasn't like he was on Miami and found a way to get out of shape, which is almost impossible given the sort of calisthenics that they do there.
So. Right. And he's had a whole offseason to prepare for this. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, because not only do they have Wiseman and Bielitzia, but they have Draymond Green. They have Juan Toscano-Anderson. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different variations that they can get into once Kevon Looney is off the floor. I don't know that any of them, I don't know that any of those players have a defined role in respect to the center position, right? Like Draymond Green is obvious. We know what he's going to do. How many minutes is he going to get as a small ball five? I don't know. Will Juan get any? Will he get all of them during the regular season? I have no idea. I think this is something that they need to figure out in training camp.
Well, it's so tricky too, because the Warriors have broken down rotations with the center position very, very Excel-like and appreciatively.
Yes.
So like first 6 minutes, second 6 minutes, that's the first quarter. First 6 minutes, second quarter, last 6 minutes, second quarter, and so on and so forth. And if I had to bet right now, I would say it would be Looney, Wiseman, Bielitza as the small ball five with the second unit, and then with Steph off the floor and Draymond off the floor. And then those two guys come back on, and the hot hand, the best matchup, runs for the final roughly 6 minutes. So that could be Draymond at the five.
Yeah.
That could be Bielitza at the five for, you know, kind of goes an extra minute, sits on the bench for two, comes back on for the final three or four. It could be Wiseman if he's having a nice game. He'll have plenty of opportunity, and I think that they'll want to put him out in those situations, especially in the first half, where there's a little bit of tenseness in those minutes. And there will be plenty of Looney for defensive purposes. But this is the way that Steve Kerr wants to run his centers, right? He wants to have exactly the bullpen. I used to call them Keystone centers, where they fill in the lineup of an arch, but that really got more associated with Keystone Cops, and that's not fair to them. It's absolutely the bullpen. And as we see in modern baseball, you know, the bullpen isn't seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guys. It's particularly, you know, leverage situations, you know, splits on certain lineups and all that. Like that, I think that's how Kerr is going to play the final 6 minutes of the first half in the game. And I think that that's probably the best way to go about it, because they don't have one guy that they can trust. And I don't even know if there's a center who exists in the NBA. Maybe Anthony Davis and Carl Anthony Towns, that's about it. Who you're like, every night, final six of the game has to be on the floor. You can't even say that with Rudy Gobert.
No, I mean, you could say with Joel Embiid just because of how dominant he is and the way he just shifts the game into his version of playing. But
that's fair.
To your point, you're absolutely
right. Let's just say there's a handful of guys that fit that role.
But even Anthony Davis plays power forward most of the game. So I don't even know if you could put him in that conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that helps you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of the entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode is brought to you by Sleeper. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy. So, in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing because your opponent's players simply had more scheduled games to play in that week are over. The days of mindless busy work are over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of that busy work, also over. In Game Picks, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, whatever. All of that adds up to more strategy and less busy work. Whether you prefer redraft, keeper, or dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy football, if you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You're not going to be disappointed. I will say this. I think you're absolutely right. You say it's like an Excel spreadsheet approach to playing center. I've always imagined it that way too. It is very formulaic, and chalk that up to Mike Brown and all the Excel spreadsheets that he literally uses. He probably has put that. He loves them. Color coded and everything. But I would not be shocked. I'll say it this way. I would not be shocked if your order of Looney, Wiseman, Bielitsa, if you swapped Bielitsa and Wiseman, and maybe Bielitsa was the first center off the bench, because you could play him then with, if you're going to have Draymond and Steph playing most of the first quarter, then intuitively it kind of makes sense to have to Bielitsa in there as a floor spacing five to kind of counteract what it is that Draymond Green doesn't give you on offense. I'm not saying either way. I could also see them and say, hey, we need to get Wiseman minutes with these guys, but
that's my thought.
Sailed. Like, I really don't know. What do we make? What do you do with James Wiseman is my biggest question. Let me ask it this way, Dieter. What would you do with James Wiseman this season?
I'd run him.
You would?
I'd run him. Like, I'm of the mindset pretty clearly that the Warriors are not going to be a top regular season team. Now, I think luckily for that, there's a lot of people out there who are delusional and think so.
Of course.
That's what happens when you're the greatest basketball team we've ever seen. But not recently, for sure. The D'Angelo Russell trade brought that to an end. So I just wanted to get one final D'Angelo Russell jab in on you before we parted. It's they're not going to be a top regular season team. That's fine.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what Wiseman is. Last year, I don't think was a fair representation because the team was trying to figure out what it was throughout the entire year. They found something at the end. They can't let that go. And that was small ball, run him off the floor, Juan Toscano-Anderson, who, by the way, his number one skill set is setting a tone. It's those sort of things. They need to remain tapped into that. Kevon Looney was obviously part of that, even though he's not much of a runner these days. And so they just have to figure it out with him. And without Clay in the lineup for who knows how long, and without him being 100% for who knows how long, I think that they have some room to really experiment. And it sucks that Wiseman's coming off an injury because now you have to sort of slow pedal him in. But if I had my druthers, I'd want to see as much Steph and Wiseman together as possible early to try out some of the things that the coaching staff should have been doing this entire offseason, which is how do we meld these two styles together? How do we get Wiseman to play more of the Curry style of basketball, be more Draymond Green? And how do we get the Warriors to be more direct as well, play more direct basketball, get that weak side pick and roll going, all that kind of stuff that smart people talk about that is totally beyond me most days. So I just need to see more because I still think he has the potential to be an impact player. And I don't write off anybody by rule until they can legally drink in the United States of America. I just don't think that's fair. In fact, 25 seems like a good time to write somebody off. But by then, James Wiseman will be a griddled veteran on his third contract. So I'm not sure that really applies. I want to see more of him early so that you don't have to experiment late.
Right.
And putting him in at the end of the first quarter, end of the third quarter with Curry and Draymond might not be, as you alluded to, the strongest tactical matchup, but I think it will bear the most fruit moving forward because it's the preseason of, those are, the second quarter, right? Like that's like for end of the first quarter. Those are kind of lighter minutes, but you have the aces on. You can develop some chemistry, you can develop some rhythm with those guys, and that's what they really need to do. Or they need to figure out, hey, this guy sucks. Like this guy can't work with these guys, and what we're going to do is we're going to have an entire other system built around James Wiseman that we're going to run at the beginning of the second quarter. And in which case, that's fine. But he's a bust then, And you need to look about trading him somewhere where he could probably garner some value as that second quarter guy. Then you could maybe trade him. But I need it, if it doesn't work with Steph and Draymond, if you've already conceded that, then you need to concede the player altogether because he doesn't have value to you.
Well, I think maybe if it doesn't work with him right now, that's not the end of the world. And I do agree with you that
they'll be fine as a team.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It sucks that they use the number two overall pick for a guy who in a shortened pandemic season was deemed to be completely incompatible with winning in San Francisco. Like that's not acceptable. And that's a larger conversation. If I'm the Warriors, I'm trying to make sure that that is either the absolute truth or a total overreaction to one weird year. But yeah. I need to find that out as soon as possible, because once Klay comes back, Klay is the second unit guy. You know, that was a role that he had pre Kevin Durant and was good at it. When Klay comes back, he's, the calculus of the lineup changes pretty significantly with Klay in the lineup, and knowing what you have with Wiseman is huge in that regard, because Klay is not going to be, no one has ever asked, can you play with Klay? It's right. Never happened once. Klay right. works with everybody. He brings out the best in everybody. He is the ultimate glue guy in every regard known to man. So if Steph Curry, who is obviously idiosyncratic, and Draymond Green, who's even more idiosyncratic, can work with James Wiseman, then congratulations, he's going to be a hit with Klay Thompson on the floor too.
Right.
But they need to find that out now, because I'm not ready to go on the same line that you are, or at least you were entertaining there probably 25 minutes ago before I started this rant, that he can't work with those guys and that he needs to have his own other thing. I need to see more before I get there.
They do too. And that's what's so important about training camp, so important about practices. It's going to be so important about preseason. It's what's so devastating about this MCL injury mm-hmm. is that they didn't get that. And before the MCL injury, it seemed like he was turning a corner, but that was also a very short sample size for a rookie. And yeah. I don't know really, I know a lot of Warriors fans are kind of holding on to that. Like, look, he was ready and he's just going to come back from this and he's just going to continue that development. But we know that development is not linear in that way. We know that rookies have ups and downs, and that maybe it just wasn't a high for him and a low was incoming. And
it was also such a limited role, right? Like it was such a, like, you only do these two things, which it sucks that they had to get to that point. And I'm not knocking that methodology.
I'm okay with that. I mean, that's how DeAndre Ayton got to where he is. I think you do need to narrow in his role. I thought that was actually what the problem was early on, was that they're like, I don't know, just go out there and do James Wiseman stuff. And everybody's like, well, we don't know what that is. And he was like, I don't really know what it is either.
Well, and no, the problem is Steve Kerr saw James Wiseman stuff, had a conniption. And then it's like, no more James Wiseman stuff. And they're like, but keep, figuring out what it is you are as an NBA player. And he's like, but I was told not to do some of those things, like, shoot threes. And
I've got questions. And that's my thing is, if it weren't for the injury, I would agree with you. Just put him in there, let him run. The other problem is, too, I know that the beginning of the season, you're just sort of holding water until Klay comes back. But the Warriors need to win some games early on until Klay comes back.
They will.
Because I don't know if they will. I mean, they'll win some games. They need to win enough games.
How many times do they play Sacramento early?
Not enough.
Fair.
This is a team that's missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. You can't take any regular season game for granted at this point. You haven't earned that.
Let's hear from our friends at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has a ton of delicious flavors? There's something for everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. They have coconut, Cherry Barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Do you know what my favorite flavor is? Well, if you've been listening to this podcast as long as I have been doing it, and remember, not going to be doing it that much longer, you know that I do the fruit covered in chocolate flavors. I recently posted about my engagement on Instagram, and I had people coming back at me saying what their favorite Built Bar flavor was, which was not exactly topical, but I appreciate the passion. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you can get two each of the 9 flavors so you can choose your favorite. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. Check out the macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein, Calories ranging from 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors. All tasty. All healthy. So go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off on your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Let's also talk about Bet Online. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit, people, just for signing up. Don't forget to use that promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right now to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Maybe your fantasy football team has already gone to crap. Well, you can make up for it with BetOnline.ag. Start betting on the games every weekend. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
They also don't have to treat every game like it's, you know, game 7 of the NBA Finals. And I understand that those are two polar opposites and totally a ridiculous comparison. But, you know, it's critical for everybody who's listening to avoid sky is falling nonsense if they're 2-3 to start the year. Right. Like, the Western Conference is very flat. I think that there's a stratification that happens like pretty well after the Warriors. Like we're talking like kind of the way it all played out last year. But the Warriors, again, remember how crappy they were for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, they were a tough watch, yeah. Which is something I never thought I'd say. And it wasn't until they just embraced small ball that they started kind of revving it up and the defense got to where it needed to go. And like, hey, things are happening. Otherwise, it was a disorganized mess. The pandemic was messing them up. It didn't give them the ability to really develop any, you know, practice time chemistry or anything like that with the restrictions that were in place. I mean, it's still going to be some level of that stuff this year, but it was a shallow roster without an identity and, you know, trying to fit around two of the best players in the NBA with a bunch of guys who were either trying to figure themselves out or didn't have any idea and couldn't play with those two kind of players. Didn't fit the Warriors system. I mean, Brad Wanamaker's not a garbage player. He really isn't. He just was never, I mean, I shouldn't say he was never because I thought he actually would work out just fine, but he didn't fit. It didn't fit. And it was never going to fit.
Well, he couldn't shoot. That was the problem. Couldn't make a shot to save his life.
He should have just gone to that 12-foot spot on the baseline and just only hit those because it seemed to work out in the past. But I think that this year they have more ability to tinker, more ability to kind of figure stuff out. Yeah. I don't know if it's prudent for them to worry about seeding or anything. I think they're one of the six best teams in the Western Conference. And I think that if they have to ramp it up towards the end, they'll be well served for, you know, the experimentation that they did early in the campaign, because there's just nobody who's going to force the issue for them. I just don't see a log jam where it's like, God, you know, they're going to need to establish an early cushion so that they can do it. Just the Western Conference is such to where, and this is going to sound crazy, where they can figure it out on the fly and Clay will come back. That will be an emotional boost. There will be injuries that, you know, we can't foresee that will be, you know, completely, you know, demoralizing. It could end a season, obviously. I'm very touch and go with this Warriors team right now.
Well, that's mentally. A good thing about, that's what we learned about Steve Kerr last year, is that by the end of a season, he could figure it out. And we had not seen that before because it had all been figured out before the season even started. And last year, give him credit, there were some things that happened, injuries, other things, but
his hand got forced, but he did figure it out.
Figured it out. And that's what the best coaches do, is they take the hand that they're dealt and make the most out of it. For years, he was handed a royal flush and he was just saying, don't lose with this because it's impossible to lose with it. And last year, I don't want to go too far into the poker analogy here, but he wasn't dealt quite as good a hand and he eventually figured it out. Did he win the whole pot? No, they didn't even make the playoffs, but he did pretty good with it. And that was impressive, which takes us sort of next to our next Oh, go ahead.
Well, I want to throw in one more poker analogy here. I mean, yes, yeah, please. You say that his hand wasn't as good, but like, okay, he had the ace of spades
he
and
did.
he had a king of clubs. He also had a two, a four, and, you know,
And an Uno card that was randomly thrown in there.
Exactly. That's exactly the Joker. How did the Joker get into this? Like, it's great if you have some good cards, but they need to work together in mm-hmm. some way. You need to have everybody in the same suit. I don't care if you have a two, three, a four, and a five, if they're all in the same suit. I don't right. care if, you know, if you have a bunch of really high cards. Okay, well, good. They need to make a flush. Sometimes you can have all these high cards and, oh, you're missing the jack. And now you don't have, you know, now you don't have a team that can really get it done. The expectations for the Warriors are much lower. They're obviously not like title or bust. Now it's playoffs or bust.
Right.
And that's also important to keep in mind as we progress into this thing. Like, championship expectations need to be earned by this team, whereas they were sort of presumed, obviously, for 5 years, well, for 4 years post the first title. And then, you know, in continuity afterwards, because it's very hard to drop something like that. But I think they have a better hand this year. I really do. And I think that they need to go through a lot of the same processes that they did last year with better hand to yeah. see if any of these combinations can work together, because it's not going to work. They cannot do what they did at the end of last season and hope it transfers over. It's different personnel. They got tired as hell at the end of that thing. It was not a viable model moving forward. It was a fail-safe play that Kerr probably should have gone to a little earlier. And he was vindicated in not doing that because they ran out of gas at the end. So they need to figure out, you know, a couple of different kinds of smoke here, a couple of different combinations of hands that they can play. And they're not going to be able to do that with just training camp. That's going to require getting funky during some games. And, you know, some people will view that as, oh, they, you know, threw that game. Maybe, but they need to find stuff out in October, November, December, so that when, you know, Clay comes back, you have a little bit of run-up time with them. But by the time you get to, you know, MLK Day, Valentine's Day, you're ready to rumble. You're ready right. to punch. And then you can learn how to, you know, you already know a couple of ways that you can win. And now you can see if you really stack up with other teams and build up to this. But this is for a team that includes so many champions and great champions. It is kind of wild. It's like a team that's just being put together for the first time and it's having to learn how to win.
And it is. I mean, yeah. outside of those champions, it very much is. And by the way, all those yeah. things you're talking about, how they got to figure it out through the season, that's absolutely what it has to be. And by the way, welcome to the rest of the NBA Warriors fans. That's kind of how yeah. it is for every team. And get ready right. because that will be the Steve Kerr soundbite that we hear over and over and over again throughout the season.
Real NBA.
When somebody like Nate Duncan asks him, what the hell was he doing with his lineup at the end of the season? No,
right.
No. And
wow, we're really just throwing Nate Duncan under the
those
bus.
Those are the kinds
there.
Of questions he'll ask. Well, he doesn't ask that many questions post game, but no. That seems like something he would ask. Is like one of those, you know, minute details.
Fucking Kawakami is going to be coming in here looking
Kawakami,
for blood.
That's a good Kawakami asks those questions. That's a good one. He asks those like, hey Steve, yeah, what were you doing at the end of the in the last? And Steve's going to say, hey, look, man, it's December, and I'm still figuring this bleep out.
Yeah, and then everyone will go on the light years, and they'll be like, I think we should kill Steve Kerr. Who wants to form a riot on Chase Center right now?
Right.
And then somewhere you and I will just be like, or it's December.
Right. And at the risk of stretching the poker analogy way too far,
nope,
yes, he's
push
got
it
this
further.
New hand. He's also got a suited card up his sleeve somewhere that he's ready to just pop out with some mechanical device like a magician. We just don't know what suit Klay Thompson is going to be. Is it going to be a jack, a queen, or king? We have no idea. All right, that'll do it for part two of our big training camp preview, answering the biggest questions facing the Warriors going into training camp next week. On our next episode, in part three, Dieter and I will discuss Klay Thompson's health, what the Warriors will do at starting shooting guard while they wait for Klay Thompson's return, and then how much we can realistically expect Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, the two rookies, to contribute early on in the season. That's coming up later on. Make sure to get that by subscribing to Locked On Warriors on whatever your podcast feed is, and then, of course, subscribing on YouTube. But for now, that's it for us today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.